the focus of the saints. Hebrews 13, verse 10, where it talks about, we have an altar from which those who are serving the present earthly tabernacle do not have authority to eat. And we know and we understand that the tabernacle that we have access to, the altar that we have access to, is the very altar of God the Father in heaven, in the spiritual place of His Holy of Holies, before His very throne. They do not have access because they did not have access to the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, let me correct myself. They could have had access to the blood of Jesus Christ, but they chose to follow under and continue with the old covenant, rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind, their Messiah, who they didn't recognize. And they said He had a demon. They said He was illegitimate. And they rejected His Lordship. So they do not, and today they do not, have access to the altar that you have access to, that I have access to, and all those who have been converted and are letting the mind of Jesus Christ dwelling within them. So verse 10 of Hebrews 13, it says, we have an altar from which those who are serving the present earthly tabernacle do not have authority to eat. Their sacrifices do not give them access to the very throne of God. For pertaining to those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest for sin offering, the bodies of all these are burned outside the camp. For this reason, Jesus, in order that He might sanctify the people by His own blood, this is talking about everything that old covenant practices were given as a picture, which the house of Israel under the old covenant never could have understood. Only some of the prophets had insight into that, but even they did not have the full knowledge and understanding of all those ordinances, all those laws and commandments to do with the tabernacle, didn't fully understand. Today, that knowledge has been given to the church. And the church is to give that knowledge to the world by preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God so that people can come to understand the sacrifice, the sacrifice of the precious blood of Jesus. Again, verse 10, for pertaining to those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest for sin offering, the bodies of all these are burned outside the camp. Now, that's an important point because Paul is going to continue. He's going to come back to that. For this reason, Jesus, in order that He might sanctify the people by His own blood, also suffered outside the gate. Now, what's that talking about? A totally different way of life from the old covenant, pictured by the old covenant, but now raised to a level, to a heavenly level, to a spiritual level that the physical level never understood. But it was written and given, for example, for us to understand the magnitude between the old covenant and what it pictured under the new covenant in the body and the life and the death and the blood of Jesus. So again, verse 12, for this reason, Jesus, in order that He might sanctify the people by His own blood, and we can read about that in Revelation 1 and verse 5, where He has cleansed us and continually cleanses us as we repent of our sins by His own blood, which Peter says is precious, and it is. So he suffered outside the gate. So then, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. That is talking about our calling to the way of life that Christ came to show us. Outside the camp, coming out of the religions of this world, coming out of the ways of this crooked and perverse generation that we have read of, that this world is living in, the coming out of the world. And what did Jesus say about those whom God gave to him? And you can read this at least in one place, but it's in several places in John 17, where we were actually like the apostles and the early church. We also have been given to Christ by the Father, and it's through his blood and through his sacrifice. Is this not the primary, the paramount focus of our lives? And that's what we're talking about. Focus of the saints of the living God. We are the children, the saints of the living God, and the brothers and sisters of the living Jesus Christ in heaven above. So then, verse 13, we continue, let us go forward to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And we do. We bear his reproach. And again, in John 17, Jesus admits this. Jesus states this before the Father, that we will face reproach. Anyone who will follow Christ will suffer persecution. For we do not have a continuing city here on earth. Rather, we are seeking one that is coming. Now, this is chapter 13 of Hebrews, and chapter 11 is what Paul is referring to here. He had already covered this back in chapter 11, which is called the faith chapter, about how the people were strangers and sojourners. So doesn't that then really figure when it says here that we should go forward to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, the reproach of this world? Why? Because our focus is on loving God and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness and loving one another, working towards that goal of entering the kingdom of God by taking on the perfection that was in Christ. We're all not perfect. In fact, we're all far from the perfection of Christ, but day by day, by reading the Word and God inscribing that Word in our mind, and by having that contact with God the Father through Christ, we come to know the Father, and we come to know Jesus Christ. And that, as he says, is eternal life. So as we do these things, we're progressing toward perfection. And again, as we've mentioned many times, the whole book of the Scriptures is about that perfection. And Paul is one who focuses on that specifically in the book of Hebrews. Verse 15. Because we do not have a continuing city, the cities of this world are coming to an end. When we return with Christ, we're going to see him absolutely demolish the cities of this world. All these high-rise buildings, they're going to be brought right down to the ground, just like all human beings that are proud and high and mighty are also going to be humbled and brought right down to the ground, to the dust of the earth. Rather, we are seeking the one that is coming. Focus. We are focusing on that city that is coming. Accordingly, verse 15, let us offer the sacrifices of praise. Isn't that interesting? Praise is a sacrifice to God. Why? Because we're praising Him, and we're not praising some human being. We're not praising ourselves. We're not taking the glory to ourselves, but we're praising God. That's being a living sacrifice, as Paul says, that we should become living sacrifices. Here he's telling us in Hebrews how to do it. Offer praise to God, continually to God. Through Him, that is, with the fruits of our lips, openly professing our faith in His name. Continuing. Now, do not forget to do good. Point one, don't forget to do good. And secondly, and to fellowship. Now notice what he says here. For with such sacrifices. So first we have praise. Next we have doing good. Then we have fellowship. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We don't often think of those things as sacrifices, do we? But they are. And they're pleasing in God's eyes. Next, verse 17, focus. This is another focus point. Follow your leaders. Be submissive. Now, another place in Ephesians, Paul says, be submissive to one another. But when it comes down to the setting of the church in order, as Paul said to Titus, there are certain things the ministers and elders are responsible to, just setting everything in order, as Paul said he instructed Titus to do. And be submissive. In other words, listen to what they say, what they preach, then go to the scriptures and prove what they have said, whether it is the truth coming from God Himself. And if you've proved that, that sets a precedence that gives you confidence in the Word of God. It can also give you confidence in the elder if he's actually preaching the Word of God, just like we're commanded to do. Because they are looking out for your spiritual well-being. Yes, elders are responsible and looking out, and God holds elders responsible for the spiritual well-being of the fellowship, of the church, of the brethren. As those who must be ready to give an account to God, in order that they may do this with joy. So those who are preaching, those elders who are preaching, faithful with the word, and we as those who are listening to them, and even every elder listens to other elders to be taught by them. And every elder, and particularly those who are young, need to listen to the older, more mature people in the church who have gained a lot of experience by being in the church and the experience of God of coming to understand and knowing many things and can learn from the elder men and women in the church, particularly from the older men. And of course, the younger women can learn from the older women who are mature and have experienced many hardships and many joys in this life and have had experience in life and can help and teach. And all this is part of our focus as the saints of God. And not with groanings, because that would be unprofitable for you. And I do not know of any elders in this fellowship of God that are against the children and the sheep that God has given them to pastor and to feed and to take care of. And the role, of course, the focus for the elders is to help bring us all to the maturity of Christ, which is what God's plan is all about. Pray for us, if we are certain that we have a clear conscience in all things, desiring to conduct ourselves well. Now, I am earnestly exhorting you to do this more diligently, that I may be sent back to you quickly. And may the God of peace, who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from among the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And here we go again, that word, our focus, the focus God wants us to have, becoming perfect. He says, be perfect because I am perfect. Be you holy because I am holy. This is major focus again. Perfect you in every good work, in order that you may do his will, accomplishing in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now he concludes this by saying, now I admonish you, brethren, to be patient, or to patiently listen to this message of exhortation. And here he's talking about not just this one chapter, he's talking about the whole book. For I have written to you in only a few words. And basically, it ends there. So we have much, but let's just, before we conclude, go back to a chapter, back to chapter 12. Here is another focus that we need to be very mindful of, because it has to do with God correcting us, God disciplining us. And it's an important focus, because if we don't have that focus, if we can't see that God will discipline us at times, then we could miss the gate that leads to eternal life, which some have done. Some have decided to take a different route. Verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great throng of witnesses, all those mentioned in chapter 11, the faith chapter, beginning with Abel and right through to the last of the apostles, let us lay aside every weight. Point 1, focus 1, lay aside every weight. Focus 2, and the sin that so easily entraps us. Focus 3, let us run the race set before us with endurance, having our minds fixed on Jesus. And fourth focus, but really number 1, the beginner and finisher of our faith, who for joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And that's the shame that we're to despise, also the shame that the world tries to put on us. We reject it, like Christ. We despise it. Secondly, with Jesus. So first, having our minds fixed on Jesus. Then 3, verse 3, now meditate deeply on him. Focus day by day by day. How do we do that? Well, many ways, but one is read what he has to say in the Gospels. Then read what the apostles have to say about him in the epistles. Then read what John was given to say about him in the book of Revelation. That's our focus. Read what the Old Testament has to say about him. So meditate deeply on him who endured such great hostility of sinners against himself, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. Another focus. You have not yet resisted the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin. He did. His blood, he shed his blood for our sins, to cover our sins. He paid the ultimate price. And God may yet call on many of us to pay that same price. That's why our focus has to be so solid and so strong. Now, in the meantime, something we need to keep in mind, and we'll finish on this. Verse 5. Focus. This is a focus for us as the saints of God. And you have already forgotten the admonition that he addressed to you as his sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor grow weary of being reproved by him. Many have. You see, the problem here can be is that when correction or discipline, God gives corrections through the spoken word, what often happens is we can focus on the speaker and reject the discipline that's coming from the word through a man who is under the command to tell people when they are missing the mark and going astray, to pull them back from the fire, hellfire, the second death. That's the focus that God wants. He doesn't want us to die. If you endure chastening, God is dealing with you as a father. And he'll use those he's called to do this. So don't put the face of a man in front of God's disciplining you because you're going astray and can't see it. For God is dealing with you as a father with his sons. For who is the son whom the father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, for which all the partakers, of which all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. I want to be a son of God, not a bastard, illegitimate. I want to be perfected, just like you do. Furthermore, we've had fleshly fathers who chastened us, and we respected them. Should we not all the more willingly be subject to the Father of spirits and live forever? For in the first case, they chastened us for a few days in whatever way seemed good to them. But in the second case, he chastened us for our own benefit, that we may be partakers of his holiness, that we may be perfected, that we may be his perfect sons and daughters. So let's praise God. Let's thank him when he corrects us. Let's focus on the Word of God. Let's focus on building and developing continually that relationship with God until our very last breath while we are yet in the flesh.